Hello, welcome to Awareness of the Soul with your host, Vincent Sandy. And welcome everyone to wherever you are in the world. Thank you for tuning in, and I apologize for last week if I have not been able to give it a radio show, the usual radio show, but I was in U.S., and this is what I want to talk about today on this beautiful radio show. I want to share with you what I've gained, what insights I have gained, what I've been talking about there at the yoga retreat. I went for a yoga retreat in Chicago when I've been ordained as a Swami. So my Swami name is now Swami Eka Buddhi Ananda, and that means he who receives bliss through one-pointed wisdom. And I've been ordained for, I think, one of the greatest Kriya Yoga mystic today. And his name is Goswami Kriyananda. You can find him at yogakriya.org. He's a great, great spiritual teacher and a mystic. This is what I like about him, the fact that he actually tunes in the mystical side of Kriya Yoga. And he brings it down to practical steps for you to live by. And it makes you understand how you can improve your life, achieve your dream, and then at some point even abandon your dream to live a greater dream. I really love these teachings, and he really explores them in a way that it's unusual, in a way that is unique. And let me remind you, first of all, today's radio show doesn't have a particular topic. I just entitled it Beautiful Insights because I'm going to talk about different subjects and share with you what has been my experience over there, and of course practical insights as well. But if you want to call, then your call will be appreciated, and it's 888-815-9756. If you have any questions, if there's anything you would like to talk about, we can talk about anything you want. 888-815-9756. And let me remind you that even though we're moving now, the lifecatalyst.com is still active, and if you have not done so already, then go there and sign up for the mystical lessons, which are incredible. And then we will move. We will move from one server to another, and you will have to reconfirm your email address. When that will happen, you will know, because you will receive an email saying now it's time to reconfirm your email address. Please do it here. If you reconfirm your email address, you will start to receive the lessons again from the beginning. But what is beautiful is that there are much more, there are many more lessons. There is much more that has been added. So you're going to receive that and more, and a gift. A gift that is a secret until you will sign up, but it is a wonderful gift, and it is. I will not tell you what it is, but it is a gift. So please sign up if you haven't done so already. Then you will have to reconfirm your subscription when the time comes, but you will not be disappointed, I promise. So remember, thelifecatalyst.com, go there and sign up for the lessons, or remember that you can also visit lifewealthshop.com and see what kind of readings you can get, what kind of consultations you can get, or you can sign up for the Soulmate Connection online course, which is a beautiful course, a beautiful online course that includes my personal support, which is great. So go to lifewealthshop.com and see there what can possibly serve you the best. So the first thing when I went there, I remember this retreat, is the fact that as soon as I stepped in, first of all, it was a massive building and a very spiritual in its essence. It has this kind of sensory appeal to me because it reminded me of a very old building, and I could see the spirituality had infused it with beautiful vibration. So once I get in, I start to feel right away that there is that kind of heavy presence of the spirit. But heavy, it doesn't mean heaviness. It means really strong, really grounded, and powerful in this way. So, you know, because Saturn, which is the symbol of heaviness in astrologically talking, yes, it is discipline, yes, it is limitation and obstructions, but it is also grounding, it is also balanced awareness, balanced discipline, okay? And I could feel that grounding, the spiritual grounding, when as soon as I stepped in. And then we started our talk with this great spiritual teacher. And the first thing that we talked about, he said, first of all, it is important, and this is what I've been going through. And of course, I took notes only to what appealed to me. But he said, the first thing is, what is it that you're trying to accomplish? And this is something that we always talk about on the radio show. What is it that you're trying to accomplish? What are you trying to accomplish? What your life is all about? And here, as soon as you step into your life, as soon as you try to have responsibility over your life, you have two possible approaches. One is the scientific approach, the logical approach, the mind approach, when you think that every step has to be a logical step as a consequence of the step before. And the other step is the mystical approach, the approach where you step into the mystical realm of existence, and you decide from that consciousness what is the best thing for you to do, what is the next thing that you would like to accomplish, where your life is going. You see your life from this present moment to the past, and then you realize from the past what is your life cycle, and you reevaluate everything from the present moment and you reproject onto the future. But you understand life from a mystical point of view, from mystical principles. So you have these two approaches, and try to analyze what is the approach that you're actually using, the scientific approach or the mystical approach. Now, if your experience in life is not being absolutely spiritual up until now, therefore, you're probably being using more the scientific approach, if you've been using any kind of approach at all, than the mystical approach. But as soon as you step, as soon as you start practicing spiritual techniques and apply those metaphysical, mystical principles into your daily life, then the mystical approach starts to have predominance. And what is important here to understand is that, of course, once you get into the mystical realm and you use the mystical approach to move on through life, still you will have the scientific approach to back this up. It is really important not to just say, okay, now I'm a mystic and I don't care about the scientific approach anymore. I will just step into the mystical approach. You can't do that unless you are one with an infinite presence. Because there is always a certain degree of fault, certain degree of mistakes that you might have. So the scientific approach has to back it up. But what is most important is that you try to base your life from the mystical approach. You start to move from the mystical approach forward. Because the scientific approach that is based only on the mind level, it is based also on the patterns that you've been using for quite a long time. Therefore, it doesn't mean that it has to be necessarily the best step for you. Okay? Because you're probably recycling yourself. And the most beautiful techniques that I came across, and I'm not saying they are the only techniques available on this planet, but there are two great techniques that we teach in Kriya Yoga, and one is the Hong So technique, the Hong So Kriya. And the other one is another Kriya that is called the Major Kriya, the one that Yogananda used to initiate personally. And they're all techniques that Yogananda used to teach. But one is the Hong So, and the other one is the more evolved Kriya. And but the more evolved Kriya is not really more evolved. It just requires more commitment from your side. While the Hong So Kriya is really simple and anyone can do it, and it will bring eventually to enlightenment in this life if one practices it as well. Once you practice these techniques, what happens is that you step gradually into the mystical realm. Therefore, you start abandoning yourself, you start abandoning the desire to have control at any cost over your life, before you jump from the scientific approach towards the mystical approach. And when that happens, When that happens, you start feeling like life takes care of itself on its own. You don't have to create something incredible just to step one foot forward. Life takes care of itself. Especially with the Hong So Kriya, you will start to feel like you don't have to control your breathing. You're able perfectly to breathe just by yourself. And that sense of insecurity that you might have within you, that will eventually disappear because you know that you are releasing your sense of wanting to be in control at any moment, at any time. Because that is one of our main problems, that we are insecure. We feel that we have to stand up, and while standing up, we have to support the planet. We have to support the ground upon which we walk. But the ground stands by itself, and it is actually supporting you. But psychologically, mystically speaking, we are mystical psychology of the soul. We are feeling like we have to hold everything that seems to be. So what happens is that this is a sense of insecurity that we need to grab and hold what we see around us. And what happens, obviously, this creates problems because we are insecure. Therefore, we start to say not just to ourselves, but to other people what they should do. Because if they don't behave in the way we expect, then at that point we are disappointed because we don't feel secure enough. We don't feel safe enough on this planet. Therefore, we start saying to other people, no, you should do like this. But this is obviously a sign of insecurity. You don't have to be in control. Life takes care of itself. You just need to be aware of the life that is flowing through you. And through the Hong So technique, what happens is that the breath starts to breathe on its own. And then you know that it is able absolutely to breathe on its own. So you'll start learning, you learn to let it go. You learn to let go because you know that life supports you at any moment. I remember one of the most beautiful experiences that I have with the Hong So technique, and I want to share this with you, is that at some point I was sleeping, okay, and at some point I fell asleep practicing the Hong So technique, and at some point during the sleep I found myself totally aware of myself and all that was around me, and it was an immense experience. I remember that I stepped out of the life as I used to experience it, and I stepped out of that state of consciousness that relates to my personality, to my character, and to what is Vincent on a daily basis. I remember that I was totally huge. I stepped out, and I was one with the infinite around me. And I said, but where am I? Where am I? I don't understand where I am. Where am I? I was looking for my own ego. I was looking for my own character. I was looking for my personality. And I found it. I was breathing. I was breathing on my own automatically. My breath used to go up and down automatically. I was tiny. The breath had no significance at all. It was so tiny, and I was so huge. I was present in myself, into a greater myself. That was a beautiful experience that the Hong So actually led me towards, okay? Led me to. The whole battle that we are living is in our mind. We are stuck on the fact that we think we have to gain control over our life. We have to gain control over our situation. We have to gain control over a spiritual path. But the truth is that the spiritual path is a series of tools for us to become totally aware, right? To become free. And the fact is also that when we see other people having a spiritual path, we start to feel insecure because we feel that if they don't do exactly the same things that we do, then they're doing it wrong. But that is absolutely wrong thinking, because there's no path. The path is a series of stepping stones toward emotional freedom, toward mind freedom, toward soul freedom, towards awareness of the soul, towards the awareness of your mind. And we have to learn how to live based on these two approaches, scientific and mystical approach. They can be related also to the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain. The right side is intuitive and the left side is analytic. Now, you need both sides of the brain. You cannot just be intuitive. You cannot just be analytic. If you live too analytically, you lose your soul. You cannot lose your soul, but you lose touch with your soul, perception of the soul. If you become too analytic, if you become too intuitive, you don't know how to live anymore. You cannot organize. Your intuition is not organized. Therefore, if you step on one side only, other than on the analytic side or in the intuitive side, your life becomes chaotic. You cannot put order, but if the two sides are balanced, you live in the center, and the battle of the mind terminates. You see, if you live on one side alone, you will feel a great desire to abandon it, and at some point you will have to jump towards the other side very strongly, because the mind and our head works through opposite, as we've been talking many times. And the fact is that if you go on one side, necessarily you will feel naturally a sense of imbalance. Therefore, you will naturally be drawn towards balance. And in order to do that, you will have to jump sooner or later to the other side of the scale. And in order to prevent that, start balancing, start being aware from which side of the scale are you living. And the problem is that this is a double trap, because we think that we know better than life. We think that we are able to bring us happiness more than life itself does. Therefore, we want to have control, and we step on one side only of the scale, bringing imbalance in our whole system. But the fact is, you have to accept that life is absolutely self-reliant. You are grounded in life. You are eventually self-reliant. And my idea is that you should start accepting other people so that you can start accepting yourself. And once you start accepting yourself, you start softening your karma, because you don't fight anymore. Stop fighting with other people, and your mind, your head, will stop fighting as well. Accept people. Accept people doing the things that they do. As the same way that you accept a cat being a cat. Accept a dog being a dog. Accept people being people. They do things that people do. Even when they gossip, even when they're kind, even when they talk a lot, even when they don't do what you're doing, they are people doing things of the people. And if you can start accept that, then you will start accept yourself, because you have the subconscious mind within you that says, I accept people, and I am a person. I am a people, okay? I accept myself. But if you don't accept other people, the problem is, I don't accept them, but they are people as I am. Therefore, I don't accept myself, and you will start fighting, trying to find balance within yourself, and this is a circle that never ends. Have you accepted yourself? This is very important. Another thing that is important in order to accept yourself is to have a beautiful self-imagery. Okay? Close your eyes right now and make this little experiment. What is the self-image of yourself that lives within you? What kind of self-imagery do you have? You see, that is what you're getting from life. Because if you go to a shop and buy something, eventually you give money at the counter and you will get what you want. You get what you pay for. If you fight with your mind, you get war. If you don't accept yourself, you get non-acceptance. If you don't accept others, you get non-acceptance as well. Start having a self-imagery that is positive, that is full of acceptance, and at the same time, accept other people doing things that people do. In your self-imagery, do you deserve what you want? First of all, what is it that you want, what you're trying to accomplish, and this is the first thing we've been talking about. But then, do you deserve what you want? Then my suggestion is, start seeing people who have accomplished what you would like to accomplish, and understand that to be there, they must have deserved it. Don't just get stuck in other people's appearance. Don't try to compare the outside of the other people to your inside. Try to understand that to be there, they either have the good karma to be there before they have deserved it, or they've done something in order to be there. And they might be not perfect, obviously, because nobody is perfect. This world is a world of imperfection. They might be not happy, but they have achieved what you would like to achieve in that field. And maybe you have achieved something else that they would like, or somebody else would love to have. But start understanding that for them to be there, it means simply that they have deserved it. So if you start seeing it in this way, then you will close your eyes. These people have deserved it. I am people. I deserve it. And then these things will start coming to you. You will stop fighting between you and what other people are having that you don't have. They have deserved it. You have that karma that allowed them to have it. Congratulations. You congratulate with them. You congratulate with yourself. You are destroying at that point the wall within you and the thing that you would like to get. You see, the resistance is just falling off. And you start being more happy. You start understanding that through your consciousness, you can open doors. Through the consciousness, once you realign your consciousness with a sense of acceptance, with a sense of deserving, then you start being happy because you have taken walls down of separation. Whatever separated you from what you wanted is actually falling down. And you start becoming the perfect man. The perfect man that reflects consciousness only in time. And this is called in yoga Kala Purusha. Purusha means consciousness and Kala means time. Consciousness in time. When your consciousness is free, and it's not fighting anymore. You're not fighting. Okay? At that point, you are living your consciousness as it is, and you start becoming happy. One of the things that prevents our happiness is the fact that there are ghosts within our minds. And this is something that we need to be careful about. We have to understand that the ghosts of the past want to live again. We have to recognize this is the next step towards our next evolution. We have to recognize that each one of us has behind a whole series of patterns. And these patterns are usually ghosts of the past that want to live again. Now, these patterns, after some time, if they've been active for quite a while, they start having a life. They start having really, they start being entities, okay? And if we want, first of all, to have control over them, we are fighting against entities that are living inside our head. So, first of all, release your wanting to control. Second is knowing that you're not them. Therefore, if there is a ghost that comes up, like, for example, an impulse, a compulsion, or something that seems to have control over you, you can start saying no because I want to have a better life. No, because I want to save money in order to become rich, or whatever you want to say. I want to save money in order to pay my kids' college fee. I want to save money in order to buy my own house. etc., etc. Or it can be anything. If you have a problem with your spouse, with your partner, and if you are non-monogamous, for example, and that creates problem with your partner, you can start saying no. You say, no, because I want a better life with my partner. If you say no because, you put something positive, no matter what impulse will come, give yourself a good reason not to follow the ghosts of the past. And this is one of the greatest things you could do. You have to transcend these ghosts. And these ghosts, first of all, are also in the figure, you can see them in the figure of your parents. Okay? Transcend the ghosts of your parents that are in your mind, because what you have in your mind is not your real parents. And this is for all of us. What we have in our mind is the shadow of our parents as we perceive them. And you cannot be controlled by shadows. You can love your parents. You can. But you don't have to be under the control of their shadows that live in your head. Even if they're good, get rid of those shadows so that they don't control your life. Their value system is not yours. You are an independent soul at this point that is going through a path. And their value system, value is the key word, is not yours. You have to live with through your values. And if you do so, if you start affirming what your values are, you start having right away what in yoga we refer to as yama and niyama. Only personalize. You follow your own values in a way that are constructive, that they give life. You start having your yama and niyama, the restraints and the observances. See, your karma, which is a limiting factor most of the times because you just give power to it, first of all, comes in the form of your mother and your father, because you picked them up for two reasons. You picked them up. They didn't pick you. Okay? You picked them up also because you resonated with them, and these are the reasons, because you're either similar to them or because they know what you need so that you can learn how to overcome your old patterns. You are the guru of yourself as soon as you become aware. Yes, you need teachers. Yes, you need people who will help you, but you are in charge of your life, and you have to be in charge of your life. Even if you are in an ashram, even if you're under the guidance of a great spiritual teacher, eventually you will have to give it up, because the spiritual teacher that you have in your mind is the shadow of that teacher. If that teacher is one with God, then you should try to attune to its essence, not even to what he says, to its essence. Okay? Then after that, you have your friends, and they also give you lessons. They also teach you, either by good or bad example. They either show you what to do or what not to do. But you're learning. And if you start giving up your life, if you start saying, I don't want to have control over my life, because I know the life takes control of itself, I want to be aware of my essence. If you become aware of your essence, you give up yourself to God, your life will be under the right control. Because you will not be controlled by the conscious patterns or subconscious patterns that you've been living, but it will be controlled by the infinite force that is within you. God protects you. God guides you. God strengthens you. God is present. And this union between your consciousness and the consciousness of God, your consciousness and the consciousness in time, Kala Purusha, and consciousness in the infinite Purusha, creates the perfect man, a person who is really happy, really happy. The fact is that insecurity comes up, okay, because, as I said, we want to hold the world and as we are holding up ourselves. We want to have guaranteed that we are going to be loved. Therefore, we dictate and we say, in order to love me, you have to be perfect. We expect perfection, but perfection from other people cannot come. Or even if they are perfect, you will not see it unless you are perfect, because what you can see is only based on your perception. Therefore, we say to them, you have to be perfect for me to love you. And we want to say, we want to see them acting exactly as we think, so we can be a little bit relieved. And we say, okay, now that you're perfect, I don't have to have control over you anymore. I can let you go a little bit, and we want freedom. But this is absolutely absurd. You know what I mean? Start releasing your control. Start practicing Hong Sao. It's a technique that I have explained many times, but I will explain it for you once more on this radio show. If you're perfect, remember, you would disappear from this world, because this is a world of imperfection, and you need to learn to be totally comfortable in your imperfection. Now, to practice Hong Sao, you have to stand up with your sit up straight, with your spine straight and your muscles relaxed. You close your eyes, drop your shoulders down and back, opening the chest, bringing your shoulder blades together. The chin is parallel to the floor. You want to tilt your head, tilt your neck back. Bring your head in line with the spine without tilting the head back. Keep your chin parallel to the floor. And gently bring your attention up to the point between the eyebrows on the forehead. And then start observe the breath coming in and out on its own accord, without you trying to control it, without you trying to manipulate it. And start saying Hong as the breath goes in, and Saw as the breath goes out. And the NG sound of Hong is a key sound. So you go there and you do, focusing on the pun between the eyebrows, Hong Saw. You don't speak as I'm speaking now. The sounds are only mental, and you keep on thinking mentally the sounds as the breath goes in. You think Hong, and the breath goes out. You think Saw. And you will see in time the pauses between the breaths will increase. And in those moments, you have moments of freedom. Relax. In those moments, you have balance. Relax in those moments of freedom by focusing and relaxing, resting at the point between the eyebrows. And this is the Hong Sao technique. Practice for 5-10 minutes and then remain silent. Really important to remain silent. Don't stay just for the technique and then jump up and go to your activities. Stay silent. If you meditate 10 minutes, stay silent for at least 3 minutes. And stay there trying to absorb all the benefits that the meditation brings. And what happens is, at some point, you will see, by observing the breath without trying to control it, without trying to manipulate it, without trying to change it, it is what it is, and you will just let it be. It will start releasing control. You will start seeing that life controls itself. Life is there. You will not die. Death is not there. Now, you will start, if you release to have control, you will start also to release your expectation towards people, because you will not need to control them anymore. You know you're totally independent. You know you live no matter what. We have expectation that if we do something, okay, people are going to answer in a particular way. But you will not have that anymore, because you will start releasing all the problems that you have within your mind. You see, because otherwise you live in a state of resentment, malcontent. You get angry, okay? Because if people don't give you what you want, you start building resentment within you. Why is this person is not giving me what I need? And then resentment and malcontent brings anger. But if you know that you're totally sustained by life, that you are going to be guided towards your best, God is there. There's no reason why you should expect your happiness from another person or from your own expectation or your own perception of how they should be. Okay? Now, when that happens, your life will shift from the scientific method of you expecting things, of you having a logical kind of sequence that will bring expectations from the to the mystical side. So the main base will be the mystical side, then backed up by reason. And you will be able to look ahead. You will know what happens, because the awareness of what brought you here mystically will bring the awareness of what is going to happen tomorrow. And in that case, you will know what to do, because if you're aware of what's happening tomorrow, if you know that tomorrow is raining, you know that you will have an umbrella with you. Or eventually you know that you're going to get wet. But you know what's happening, so you know what you could do in order to have a better life. And you will start asking the right questions and receiving good answers, because from the mystical point of view, you will start perceiving life moving through you, within you, through certain patterns that are natural and not guided by your own mind patterns. And once you get to that point, the question you will ask will be in relation to the flow of life that you feel moving through. Therefore, you will get answers that are relating to your true life, to the life that is really happening in you, not distorted by your mind, by your perceptions, by your points of view, but your ideas. You will start going definitely towards what is healthy instead of what is unhealthy, because the flow of life will guide you toward what's healthy. Now, what is healthy for you might be not healthy for another being. You have to understand this. Some forms of life are actually living in the acid. But if you would live there, you would die. Okay? What is healthy for you? It is not healthy for somebody else. What is unhealthy for you might be healthy for someone else. Therefore, you will start resonating with what is good for your own self, for your own life. Another thing to understand, for example, another approach that you could have towards other people in order to release the burden you have on your own mind is start forgiving others. If you forgive other people, then you would say, well, I am also a person, I am people, then you start to forgive yourself. You say, I am forgiveness. This will open a door to compassion. And this is the best way, one of the best ways to start forgiving yourself. What we need to do is to get rid of the impulse of the past to live in a certain way, dictated by our mind's patterns subconsciously or consciously. That is part of our karma, which is just an impulse, and we have a choice. You don't have to listen to your impulse. You have a choice. So the mystical life is about choosing not to respond to the impulses that are part of the mind patterns and to get free from them. You can say to anything, to any impulse, to any thought that you might have in your mind, you can say yes, or you can say no. And when you say no because I want to have a more spiritual life. I want to have better, more money in the bank so that I can afford my house. No, because I want to have more time with my partner. Okay? Whatever is the impulse that comes up that creates problem, you can start saying no. And you will see, give yourself 3 days, or depends, from 3 days to a week, and you will see your life shifting. Really, you will see your life shifting. Now, you have to understand that this works also because between me and another person, there is, in truth, a side of ourself that is totally connected. Therefore, if you connect and appreciate a good side of somebody else, or you start practicing your values towards that person, you start creating links to their state of consciousness that is positively active into their reality. And because we are all linked, that will definitely flow through you, or you will flow through that side, still being you and receiving those benefits. For example, if you see somebody that has a house, you still don't have it, and you can just appreciate the fact that they deserved it, And that deserving and that appreciation will create a link between you and the state of consciousness that the other person has. And because we're all linked together, you will flow through that state of consciousness. Creates the bridge. If you want to have more spiritual enlightenment, see people who are spiritually enlightened and do what they do. Don't do what they don't do. Make that your mantra, okay? So whatever comes, karma comes up, you can say, no, I am not this anymore. I'm not this thought. I'm not this karma. I can say yes, I can say no. And you are breaking the power of that karma, because whatever happens in your life is not a matter of being you. It's a matter of the impulses that you have created, of the compulsions that you've created, the thoughts that you have been using. But you, in the true essence, are consciousness moving through time, Kala Purusha, okay? People say, well, if I start giving up all these things, then what will I be? You will be consciousness. You will not die. There is a part of you that will not be present anymore, but there will be great peace. The emotions of the mind would be not there, and you think, I'll be dead. Maybe you can feel like that at the beginning, but after some time, a new life blossoms. You need to have the leap of faith. There is always a moment of transition when you go through a life guided through mind patterns and to the enlightened life. There is a moment of transition. The moment of transition is static. Seems static, it's not static. And you will see that a new life starts up, because when a cycle ends, there is that moment of stasis. But then you will rise up and you start getting, first of all, get rid of your boredom and understand that you can appreciate life however it presents to you. So even in those moments of stillness, the moments of static, you will understand, wow, I can appreciate life. Because you see, if you're bored, then you will feel like you have to do something. And then you will start fighting because you're looking for excitement to feel alive. And you start getting imbalanced again and again and again. And you start appreciating the silence that is within you. Verbal silence, mental silence, and the inner silence. Appreciate what you are. You start appreciating what you have, which is you. And you will start understanding that there's much more excitement as soon as you start stepping into the mystical realm, onto the subtle levels of your being, than on this side that is heavy, where everything is happening, where you feel we need to have control. There's much more excitement there, because that's what life is all about. Life becomes interesting and beautiful. And it becomes to be sanity. We are living in a state of insanity. We start to be sane. It's an internal lifestyle of sanity, which is a byproduct of a spiritual lifestyle, of an awareness lifestyle. And let me remind you, if you just tune in, this is Awareness of the Soul with Vincent Sandee. The number you want to call if you want to connect with me now is 888-815-9756. Let me say that again, 888-815-9756. Remember to sign up for the mystical lessons at thelifecatalyst.com. This www.thelifecatalyst.com, and sign up for the lessons that you will start receiving, and soon we will move servers. I will ask for your confirmation again. You will start to receive the lessons again from the beginning. Then there will be many more added. It is really worth it, and you will receive a wonderful surprise as well. To all the people who will confirm their subscription. If you don't confirm it, I cannot send it to you because the email will not go. So confirm it so I can send to you all this wonderful gift. And then there is Life Wealth Shop. This is the shop that I've been creating. There's much more, of course. Life Wealth Shop, that you can have a look there what's happening. And there are some audio recordings that I've put on a website called iamplify.com. And if you go there, and look for Vincent Sandee. Search for Vincent Sandee. You will see some programs that you could buy just starting from $3. And there's a life-changing programs, okay? So tune in and let me know also what you think about it. And now let's move on. The fact is that where we live, it is actually great, because if you live in a city, if you live with people around you, it is fantastic, because that will give you the ability to improve yourself. That will speed up your evolution. The bigger the city you live in, the more you will speed up your evolution, because those people, doesn't matter if they're right or wrong, they're good or bad, they're actually a blessing, because they challenge you, because they put you in the position where you have to accept, where you have to forgive, where you have to appreciate what they have and understand how to create the link to the positive things they have. And there are two kinds of people. And what kind of people are you? What kind of person are you? Are you one of those that thinks that all the people outside you are enemies? Or are you that kind of person who thinks that all the people who are outside of you are a blessing and your friends? Which kind of person are you? What kind of person are you? You see, if you are the first kind of person, you are creating a lot of pain in your life. You're self-causing a lot of pain, because you start fighting. You start saying, no, I don't want you, I'm better than you, and blah, blah, blah. And that is a fight. That is a war that you are just carrying on within yourself. The other person might not be interested in this war. If they are, they are having a war within themselves as well. So my suggestion, start appreciating, start tolerating, and understand whatever they have it. They have the good karma to get there. Even though they got there through evil means, still they couldn't get there if they didn't have the good karma. They would have finished badly before to get there. You understand that? And you don't have to get there in the same way they got there. We're living in the now. It doesn't matter. They are there. They have that state of consciousness to support what they have, and you can have it in the most positive way. Their life, their reality is just a product of their own perception. So start by appreciation, start by speaking what is important. Start speaking what is empowering. Learn a new language. Learn the language of the soul. A language that empowers you, okay? Now, if you have people around you that are creating problems, then remember that you have picked up all these difficult situations, but in truth, they are meaningful mirrors, because that's what you need to know. It's so simple. And this could come in the form, as I said before, of your mother, of your father, of your friends, of your partners. What is the most fundamental part of you that you've been thinking of? And then you will see how those people around you exactly in this moment are reflecting that. Okay. I've seen that after I started to find peace within myself, the relationships with my parents incredibly improved. The relationship with my friends incredibly improved, and they shifted. It shifted automatically. Mysticism comes when you start uniting the psychology of the soul with the great awareness of the spirit. Now, we all have samskaras in our mind, which are the potential patterns of the past that comes up. The patterns of the mind of the past come up. But they're part of the subconscious mind now. Now, you have to understand, if something like that comes up, you don't have to make that story. You just say, okay, this just happened. It is just now. But now, I want to become aware. I want to learn a new language. I want to speak a new language, which is the language of the soul, the language of symbols. I want to understand what symbols are active in my life. And then you shift. When you start being aware, when you start releasing control, you shift from a kind of talk that is pattern guided to symbolism. Okay? And you want to communicate with people that don't use English, you just start to speak a symbolic language. Their symbols are actively living in their own life. You will start communicate with them, and you will start communicate with yourself as soon as you start seeing those symbols. You see, there is a great abundance. We can communicate with everything. We can communicate with life, and we live in a place that is absolutely abundant. We live in a garden, in the garden of the infinite, the garden of God. But if we cannot see it, if we don't speak the language of the garden, we start feeling lonely. We start feeling greedy because we feel something is missing. Now, what we need to know is that we need to recognize it. We need to recognize the language that God is using, which is the symbolic language. We need to recognize and we need to obey, to go through the laws of this language. All the perceptions that we have that come from our mind are not what the world is about. Our words, the words that we speak, is what our world is about. If you keep on talking a bad language, a language that is negative, those symbols are acting in your own system. Start shifting them consciously. Become aware of those and start shifting them. You can make a choice. It has not to do with what comes into your world, but what you speak into your world, with what you vibrate into your world, with what you think into your world in terms of symbols. We all have problems with our words, isn't it? Because we all start talking in time in terms of this is so bad, or wish it was different. But we have to understand, when we use one word, okay, if there is one word, just do this job now before we close. Write down the most of the negative words that you use and most of the positive words that you use, even good words. And note that there are two ways that these words can be understood. One is the denotation of the word, what this word usually means. If you open up a dictionary, what the definition is there. And the other one is the other approach to analyze a word that you speak is the connotation, how you relate to this word symbolically. When you say, for example, life, what is the connotation? How do you relate to it symbolically? What images come up? What imagery come up, okay? If you say God, what comes up? If you say goodness, what comes up? If you say richness, what comes up? If you say wealth, if you say health, if you say love, what comes up? What is the connotation that you give? That is how you relate to it symbolically. And that is the symbolic language that you speak with the universe. If you start to understand what symbols are active, you can either choose the symbols that are in connotation with that word. And for here, you have to understand, you have to back up your own being with the scientific approach. And then you can start to think differently. And if you think differently, you say something differently. When you say something differently, you do something differently. And all of this, supported by your awareness, will create a new life. And I think we're going to close here. And thank you for listening to Awareness of the Soul with Vincent Sandy. I'll be here next week. Thank you very much, and I'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.